The second Sunday in Advent is about preparation and being prepared. And in looking through all of the scriptures, there's hundreds that focus on the idea of being prepared. And this time of year, we think of preparations for Christmas. For all the gifts, all the big meals, and all of the good times that we will have during this season. But during Advent, we prepare for and we anticipate the coming of Christ. That should be the focal point of what we think about. We remember the longing that the children of Israel had for a Messiah. And our own longings that we have for our need for forgiveness and for salvation and for our need to just have a new beginning. I listed four scriptures in the bulletin that offer us hope and encourage us to prepare ourselves and to prepare the way for Jesus as we await His coming. When you have company coming to your house, let's say like you probably did for Thanksgiving, what did you do before your guest arrived?
Clean.
Clean. And clean. And clean some more. Most of us who've been keeping house for a number of years have developed a routine. I think I'm an exception. I have no routine. But anyway, that's another sermon. But most of us have a routine for doing things. And as Daniel reminds me quite frequently, that we need to get our house ready, not just because we have company coming, but because we enjoy being in a clean, neat environment. When I first came here, I preached a sermon about how that we allow things to clutter our life. I think it was a sermon about the woman at the well and all of the things that cluttered her spiritually. And I made a comment that we have 45 years worth of clutter. Dana, don't you say a word. But we all have things that we really don't have any use for, don't need, or shouldn't have. But we go in and we clean our house and we dust from top to bottom. We get out our best dishes and our finest linens. We want to make sure that everything in our home is in tip-top shape. We even pull out all of our favorite recipes that we don't use but once a year, maybe twice a year, because we want to prepare for our special guest. But our special guest, the one that we as Christian people are expecting today, is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And there are special things that we simply must do in order to prepare for His coming. Think about it. You know, if you knew exactly when Jesus is coming, it'd make it a lot easier. I mean, if you have a special guest coming to your home, they say, "I'll be there Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, you expect them to be as good as their word and be at your house on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, Jesus says, nobody knows when I'm coming back. Nobody knows but the Heavenly Father Himself. And since we have no idea when He's coming back, when He might appear, we find ourselves taking our own sweet time making preparations for the second advent of Jesus Christ. We know when he came some 2,000 years ago, but you know, 2,000 years is a long time to wait. And technically, the church has waited over 2,000 years. But we as individuals have only waited a lifetime. And you know what? We have no idea how long our lifetime will be, do we? It could be today, it could be tomorrow, and it will all be over. But let us read what the Bible says in the book of Mark. Mark, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. That's Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of Mark begins with the theme of preparation. Isaiah had spoken of being prepared several hundred years, some theologians say possibly 700 years earlier. And in chapter 40 of Isaiah, he talks about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." One of the central points in Advent, preparation of God's people for the coming of Christ, the one whose birth that we celebrate at Christmas, and the one who is coming back again. Daniel's mother, who we all call Granny Bell, was big into Christmas and family gatherings. And she would have fallen in love with this Chrismon tree, because every year she had a white tree, a tree with white ornaments, and she prepared, she went all out for decorating her home. She went all out for every holiday time. We thought that Thanksgiving was special, and it was at Granny's house. But she started on Thanksgiving Day making preparations for Christmas. Because while she had all six of her young'uns there, she made plans about what everyone was supposed to bring, what everyone was supposed to do. And she made sure that everybody in the family had at least two, three gifts under her tree at Christmas time. Nobody left Granny Bell's house without taking something away with them. She showed love by preparing for Christmas. But the most special part of how she showed Christian love for everyone all year long was the fact that she prayed for everyone. It didn't make any difference if you were blood related. She could meet you in the grocery store, and if you looked like you had a need, I've seen her stand there and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And she was praying for that person. I probably would not be here today preaching to you if it had not been for Granny Bell's prayers. She was that special of a person. If anyone was ever truly prepared spiritually, Daniel's mama was. You know, most of us, we spend so much time preparing for Christmas. But sadly, it's not always a spiritual preparation. Advent offers us an opportunity to understand that there's a huge, humongous difference between our seasonal preparations and our spiritual preparations. Just because we have decorated a tree and we attended the Chrismon service last Sunday and we celebrated the first advent of Christ, his birth, it does not mean that we are prepared for the second advent of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist knew that the authentic spiritual preparation was. He knew what it was. And it's my prayer today that by the time this message is over, that so will you. John the Baptist lived out in the desert. He preached a stern message about preparing the way of the Lord. John had it all together. He was one preacher that had his act together. But we wear ourselves out today making preparations for celebration of Christmas. But have we really prepared our hearts for the Lord? John's message was clear, just crystal clear. John said, prepare the way of the Lord. He didn't say prepare for the Christmas holidays or prepare to have company. He didn't say prepare your credit limit so that you can buy more stuff on a credit for Christmas. He said, prepare for the Lord. And I want you to pay particular attention this morning to the response that John received when he addressed the people of his generation. It has to do with prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. This would literally mean that the road was made level, not winding back and forth. In other words, the way for God to come into our lives should be on a road that is clear of debris, no potholes, no stumps. It should be a perfect, clean, uncluttered road. But every one of us over the years, over our lifetime, has accumulated debris on the road of our heart. You think, well, I've lived a good life, I've been a good person, I've not been bad. I've paid my tithes, I've went to church. But what about our communication skills with our Heavenly Father? Have we let that go slack? Sometimes the road to our hearts become totally blocked with the cares of everyday living. We let things come between us and our being able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. This will cloud our spiritual roadway to Christ. We need to get our spiritual house in order this morning. We've all complained, every one of us has, about people we know that just cannot seem to get their priorities straight. Every one of us has made that remark. Well, I like him. He's a nice enough person, but he just can't get his priorities straight. Every one of us know people like that. But I'm reminded this morning of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Now that should be a clue to how to get your priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. John's call to repentance is a call to turn away from everything that clutters the highway of our lives and to raise the priority of our relationship with the Lord to the top of our list. what we do for Jesus Christ should have top priority in everything that we do. John leads us to the one who is our Lord, whose birth they awaited, and whose return the second time is coming, and whose reign will be eternal and will never end. This is the beginning. This message that John is presenting is the beginning of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When we are challenged to do something or to not do something, we want a good reason why we should do it. What's in it for me? What will be the outcome? What will be the consequences? So do you want to have a good reason for cleaning up your spiritual life? You know what the consequences will be if you don't. Either way, it will be an eternal consequence, whether you are prepared to meet your master or you're unprepared. I want to leave you this morning with the scripture that I have to say about keeping the way in our hearts uncluttered. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will dissolve with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all of these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of person ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish. And regard the presence and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Now skip down to verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. To him be the glory now and forevermore. Are you prepared today? Right now, there will never be a better time than right now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Are you sure that you're prepared? If there's any doubt, any shred of a doubt, that doubt can be removed this morning. As we prepare to take of Holy Communion, our Lord is here with us right now. To cleanse all of the debris, all of the clutter from the highways of our hearts. And as we take of his body and of his blood shed on Calvary, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to allow him to come in and to cleanse us and to make us free.